We have all the participants are joining as attendees, and we have a quorum for the commissions. We're ready to go when you are, Chair Bain.
Very good. Just make sure we're going up there. Very good. So noting that the time is on my clock, there we go, 1 o'clock. Very good. I'll call this special meeting to order. Welcome, fellow commissioners, and of course, members of the public and potential offerers who are joining us today for this special meeting of the County of San Diego's Independent Redistricting Commission that features the Industry Day presentation for the Outreach and Engagement Services Procurement. Let's begin with our clerk, Andrew Potter, for information about today's meeting. Andrew.
Thank you, Chair Bain. Any members of the public who wish to provide oral testimony during today's meeting can do so under Agenda Item 1 of Commission Business. In a moment, Chair Bain will explain the slightly different format we have compared to regular Independent Redistricting Commission meetings. I would like to note that agendas, minutes, and supporting materials for the Commission's meetings are posted on the redistricting website, including instructions to request translation. Meeting agendas are translated into Spanish, Vietnamese, Chinese, Filipino, Arabic, Japanese, Korean, and Laotian as required by law. Thank you.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is, of course, the roll call. Andrew, could you please call the roll?
Thank you. Before I call the roll, I would like to note for the record that all commissioners are participating via teleconference. As such, all votes will be handled by a roll call vote. I'll ask the commissioners to please unmute your microphone and say here or present, and I will begin alphabetically. Chair Bain.
Here.
Commissioner Brown. Co-Vice Chair Katarina.
Here.
Commissioner Chen.
Here.
Commissioner Diaz. And Commissioner Dostal.
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Dostal had indicated that she was going to be absent. Co-Vice Chair Garcia?
Here.
Commissioner Hansen?
Here.
Commissioner Inman?
Here.
Commissioner Krugliak? Commissioner Larson?
Here.
Commissioner Pons? And Commissioner Russ had indicated that he was going to be absent. And Commissioner Serban? Okay, thank you.
Very good, thank you. So with that, we'll move on to commission business. The only item on today's agenda is the Industry Day presentation, which also includes a question and answer session and discussion of the draft documents for the procurement of the outreach and engagement services. I'd like to note one technical correction for the record. Where the title is stated as the agenda reads, Procurement of Public Outreach and Communication Services, the title rather should read Procurement of Outreach and Engagement Services. So just to repeat, the title should be Procurement of Outreach and Engagement Services. Before we begin our formal business, I want to acknowledge and thank the IRC's ad hoc committee on this issue or project, consisting of Vice Chair Katarina, Vice Chair Garcia, and Commissioner and former Vice Chair Diaz, for all of their hard work in preparing these procurement documents and this meeting. They, along with staff, have been working diligently on these documents and, like all of us, are eager to hear from all the attendees on their thoughts and feedback. But I did want to specifically thank all three commissioners on the ad hoc committee. It's much appreciated. Moving on briefly on how we'll proceed today. First, we'll hear a presentation on Industry Day from Barbara Jimenez, executive lead of the county's redistricting staff team, and Rich McCarville, Chief of Procurement Services in the Department of Purchasing and Contracting. Their presentation will be followed by an open forum that invites potential offerers and the public to ask questions and give feedback to the Commission on the draft procurement documents for the upcoming RFP. More on that as we approach that specific segment of the conversation. We'll end with a discussion among the IRC commissioners present today and move on from there. A copy of today's presentation is posted online on the county's redistricting website, as are the procurement documents themselves. And I know staff is ready to help for anyone who needs immediate help on that. Before I turn to Barbara, I would like to note Commissioner Krugliak has just joined us. Welcome. And with that, I'll turn over to Ms. Jimenez for her presentation. Barbara.
Thank you, Chair Bain.
And thank you all commissioners and members of the public and potential offers for joining us for this special IRC meeting for Industry Day. And I just like to reiterate and acknowledge and thank the ad hoc commission, Vice Chair Katarina, Vice Chair Garcia, and former Vice Chair Diaz on the amazing work and the great work they've done with the procurement documents, and just let everyone know how important it was for them to get public feedback. The entire commission has made it clear that this is a critical piece of next steps, and that getting the feedback on how the contractor would be engaging the public in the redistricting process was critical. It's great to see their vision and their enthusiasm, and I look forward to working with them to finalize this process. As Chair Bay mentioned earlier, this Industry Day is really an opportunity for the public and potential offers to provide input and feedback on the public outreach and engagement services that are needed to assist the Independent Redistricting Commission in obtaining broad and diverse community input across San Diego County. And with that, I'd like to introduce Richard McCarville. He is the Chief of Procurement Services for the County's Department of Purchasing and Contract. We've been working closely with Rich in preparation for the upcoming procurement for these services. And I'd just like to thank Rich. He brings a great amount of knowledge and expertise in the world of procurement services for the county. And he's been a great resource in helping us get to this point of Industry Day. We're pleased to have him here, so I'll turn it over to Rich.
Thank you, Barbara. Good afternoon, everybody. Just a quick question. Is my presentation being shared? Perfect. Thank you. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Just a general overview of the purpose of an Industry Day. It's obviously an opportunity for the IRC to canvass some feedback and input from the relevant stakeholders as it relates to the outreach and engagement consultant services RFP that is pending and upcoming. And next slide, please. Okay, so I'm just gonna give a real high level overview of the RFP process. So an RFP process for the county is a structured process. It's effectively looking at the best value proposal from offerors, which involves consideration for price and other factors. Now, the RFP package, which will be posted shortly to a website called BuyNet, which I'll talk about in the next couple of slides, is generally going to consist of these key documents, some of which have been shared to date, and some of the conversations today will be around these documents. But for those that are not super familiar with the county's process, when this is posted to BuyNet, the packet will include these key documents, of which is going to tell you most of all that you need to know about the procurement itself. So some of the key areas to look at when we post it is the RFP instructions and rules, and there's various forms that are required to be filled out as part of the response. But those instructions are going to give you an overview of the procurement process itself and how we work through the RFP process. So if you're not familiar with them for the county, obviously any relevant stakeholders who are interested in proposing, please take a look at that section when we release the RFP. In addition to that, there's going to be some of the other key sections, which you're probably familiar with many government procurements, which includes the evaluation criteria, the submittal items, so the information that we're looking to you to present to us to evaluate proposals. And in addition to that, the agreement, which will result from the back of the winning proposal, which would include our county standard terms and conditions and various exhibits, such as the statement of work, exhibit A, insurance requirements that are required here at the county, and the pricing schedule, the exhibit C pricing schedule. Now, as I mentioned, this package will be posted on BuyNet, which is the website which the county solicits all of its procurements through. And if you can move to the next slide, please. I'll just give a high level overview of what that is and how to register if you're not already registered. So there's two ways to access the website. One is via a direct link link up in this document, or if you put the website in, it'll take you directly to BuyNet. And the other way to access it is actually through the County of San Diego's website. And if you access it through that means, in the presentation it shows, you would go to the go-to business and procurement fields on the website, and there's a link there to BuyNet on online procurement, which will take you to that website. Next slide, please. In addition to that, you can put County of San Diego Bionet into any search engine. It's going to take you directly to this screen that you see here. Now, what we ask any potential offeror to do, and addition any stakeholder that wants to follow the progress of the procurement itself and see the documents when they come out, we ask everyone to register. And that's a real simple process, as you can see in this guide, which is actually on the Bionet website too. Just click on register, next slide. And you're gonna come up with this form. You fill it in, you click on the register button at the bottom, next slide, and you will receive this confirmation. Then you're registered to Bionet, you can access all of the documents. There's no charge to register, it's free of charge, and that's gonna give you full access to all of the RFP documents when they're actually posted. So with that, I'll turn you back to Barbara.
Thank you, Rich. And so I'm gonna go over a couple of slides. So I'll have the team bring up the presentation. Today's presentation will provide some context as to the purpose of the upcoming procurement. Maritza, can you bring up my PowerPoint, please? There we go, thank you. Okay, thank you. So today's presentation is going to provide some context as the purpose of the upcoming procurement for the outreach and engagement services contractor based on the work of the ad hoc commission, as we mentioned before, and also provide some background on redistricting efforts. I'll be providing some further insights into our target population and geographical service areas of interest. Lastly, I'll share in detail our service delivery expectations to ensure the needs of the Independent Redistricting Commission are best met to assist with the redistricting process. And then after the presentation, as Chair Bay mentioned, we'll have an open forum to further discuss and receive questions from the public and review topics for discussion. So every 10-year district boundaries for federal, state, and local elected officials are redrawn based on the federal census. And in order to reflect new population data and shifting populations to ensure equal voter representation to the extent possible. To best support in the redrawing of supervisorial district boundaries in the county, the IRC is looking to retain a vendor for public outreach and community engagement in order to ensure that broad and diverse community input is received during this process. So to provide some background into the establishment of the IRC, this was set forth in the California Elections Code and the county charter that places the responsibility of drawing the supervisorial district boundaries for the County of San Diego on the IRC and stipulates that this process must include public outreach and engagement meetings. We have a total of 40 commissioners on the county's IRC that reasonably represents the county's diversity. And per state law, the redistricting process is independent from the influence of the Board of Supervisors, but the county provides full funding and staffing support for the vital work that's done by the Redistricting Commission. So moving on to target population, the contractor will be providing services in San Diego County at the direction and at the discretion of the IRC. The target audience shall be residents of San Diego County, including all unincorporated areas. Those engaged shall be reflective of the county's demographics and communities of interest. Engagement efforts must consider race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, language spoken, educational achievement, housing type, etc. The selected contractor must also work with other entities for public outreach and engagement, and this includes, but is not limited to, local media outlets, community organizations, neighborhood associations, and local businesses. So service delivery, moving on to service delivery expectations. The selected contractor is to develop and execute a public outreach and community engagement plan with a timeline that's consistent with the IRC's timeline to approve and adopt redistricting maps of the county supervisorial districts. This includes planning for a minimum of 7 pre-mapping meetings and 2 public draft mapping meetings. Developing methods and strategies to increase public engagement and input in redistricting maps proposed and considered at meetings of the IRC. with particular emphasis on reaching communities of interest, underserved communities, and communities that have been historically disengaged from the redistricting process. Also, finally, the selected contractors to develop a media and public relations strategy for advertising community outreach events. So the contractor is also required to organize and attend public meetings and informational events and host trainings with the goal of reducing barriers to the public's participation in the redistricting process. So examples of such trainings could include, but is not limited to, providing an overview of the redistricting process, applicable state and federal voting laws, and how to provide written and oral testimony at public meetings. Contractor must be able to engage and encourage broad public participation and input at the regular IRC meetings, pre and draft mapping public hearings, and the contractor is required to retain no fewer than 3 subcontractors to support the goal and objectives as aligned in the statement of work. So hopefully this brief presentation offers an idea of the services the IRC is planning to procure. If you think of something you'd like to share later, you can email us at redistricting@sdcounty.ca.gov. Or you can call us at area code 619-409-3003 by this Monday, March 22nd. And the ad hoc committee is happy to take feedback in whatever form works for you and grateful for the opportunity to hear many perspectives on this RFP. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, Chair Bain.
Well, thank you both, Rich and Barbara, for the informative presentations. I hope everyone found them useful. And I very much appreciate, and I'm sure the commission appreciates, the invitation for continuing dialogue. Speaking of which, we'll now move on to the open forum portion of the meeting. And my apologies in advance so that we can explain this well, but we've got plenty of time to have a discussion. And I do want everyone to understand the process we're planning to proceed with. First, we'll hear from members of the public and potential offerers. And then we'll have a Q&A session where those offerers and members of the public can ask and, as appropriate, answer questions. All this constitutes an opportunity to hear from members of the public and potential offerers about ideas and methods that can help shape the services we, the IRC, would like to procure. Our goal is to get a better sense of the needs, ideas, and suggestions from the community and potential offerers, respectively, for the IRC to consider in building the best possible RFP for outreach and engagement services. Because we want to hear from both the public and potential offerers at this meeting today, I will waive our usual 3-minute time limit for public comment on agenda items for all speakers, with the goal, hopefully, of encouraging conversation and dialogue. In a moment, just to get us off to a good start, I'll ask our clerk, Andrew Potter, to let us know how many individuals submitted a request to speak for him in advance of today's meeting, and we'll call on them first. The clerk will then look for virtual raised hands on the feature that I'm sure most of you are familiar with, which he will then call on. Between those raised hands, he'll also offer opportunities to speak for anyone who either cannot or is having some trouble with raising a virtual hand. In other words, if you can raise a virtual hand, that's the easiest way for the clerk and the rest of us to see that you're interested in speaking. But we will try to find other ways to do it if you're so inclined, especially for those on audio only or on a call-in in some way. I'll again beg everyone's indulgence and patience as we work through that and make sure we have the kind of dialogue we're all seeking. Now, again, for this first portion of the discussion, we're really focusing and want to take comments only for now. We know many of you have questions, and I'm sure the comments we're about to hear will lead to new questions. To focus on all those questions and their answers, we'll have an opportunity during the Q&A session that follows the comment session to ask and answer those questions. So first, we'll have the comment section. Then we'll have the Q&A section. And then after that, I'll invite commissioners to take advantage of their opportunity to ask any clarifying questions and to have our own discussion as we regularly do. But we'll do that after we've finished the dialogue and Q&A with members of the public and potential offerers. I hope that's clear. I apologize for the length of introduction. And I'll now turn to the clerk to see if there are any requests to speak that were submitted in advance. Andrew, do you have any such requests?
We do. Thank you, Chair Bain. We have one request that has been submitted in advance of the meeting. So I'd like to invite Mary Thompson to address the commission. Go ahead and allow her to speak. And as the chair indicated, if there are any other members of the public that wish to speak at this time, please raise your virtual hand in Zoom and we will allow you to speak. For those that are dialed in, you can raise your hand by pressing *9 and that will indicate to us that you wish to speak. So again, for those that are dialed in, you can press *9 and that will raise your virtual hand. But we will begin with Mary Thompson.
Well, thank you for the hard work you're doing for the people of this county. My name is Mary Thompson and I represent the League of Women Voters North County San Diego as the chair of its civil engagement group. We appreciate the opportunity to comment on this critical contracted work, and here are a few ideas. One, beyond the legal requirement for 7 pre-mapping hearings and 2 redistricting map draft hearings, we strongly encourage more hearings and a targeted educational workshop for the community on identifying communities of interest. 2, to add to a public outreach list, we highly recommend leveraging the outreach infrastructure work of the 2020 San Diego County Census team. By inviting that group to share how to identify and do outreach to nonpartisan voter engagement groups that might be able to educate and engage their communities in redistricting. 3, to further add to the public outreach list, we urge you to collect and add names and organizations who've made public comments at IRC meetings. And finally, given the trend of increased civic engagement during the COVID pandemic, we recommend that the contractor's scope of work include the collection and analysis of public input for the IRC. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. We appreciate your comments. Are there any additional members of the public that wish to speak at this time? Again, if you can raise your hand in Zoom, we will be happy to call on you. And for those that are dialed in, again, you can press *9. Chair Boehm, I'm not seeing any activity in the attendee panel, so that appears to conclude requests from the public to speak at this time.
Very good. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Ms. Thompson. And for members of the public, please feel free during the Q&A session, if you want to work a comment into your Q&A, we more than welcome it. So we'll move on now into the Q&A discussion that I mentioned that will hopefully help us continue on a very constructive dialogue. Initially, I'm going to share some questions on slides to help prompt our conversation. After each question, I'll encourage everyone to raise their, anyone who's interested, I should say, to raise their virtual hand and I'll call on you. I'll also call on anyone to speak, working with Andrew and the rest of the staff, who doesn't have the ability or cannot for some reason raise their virtual hand. I promise to do my best to recognize all speakers in turn and appreciate your patience again as we proceed. And once again, please state your name for the record once you're called on and any organization affiliation you may have. So with that, I think we'll go ahead and put up the first slide. Or the first question, I should say, on the first slide. Thank you. And I'm not one for reading PowerPoint, but in this case I will. What approaches can be used to increase civic engagement to ensure an inclusive and diverse participation in the process? It's a question that's been on commissioners' minds, I think it's fair to say. And I'd be very interested, as I'm sure we all will, in any comments, recommendations, or answers that members of the public or public offer or potential offerers might have. Okay, commissioners, I will ask you to keep these questions in mind as we go. Of course, your views on this will be welcome, especially to share with the broad audience that we have in front of us. So why don't we go on to the second question? And I'm catching staff by surprise as we move along. Very good. And this relates, I think, to something we just heard about. Given the restrictions, and I'd say also the positive developments, such as they are, imposed by COVID-19 arrangements, and I do want to thank members of the public and potential offers for being here today, like you, I know all of us would rather be doing this in person. So apologies in advance, but much more importantly, thanks for being here. Given all these restrictions and conditions though, what are some creative ways to interact with the public, given that we're going to be in something like this situation, at least for a bit, and to encourage civic engagement along those lines? Any comments or answers on that? And that's okay. All right, we will go along to question three. What are some of the services and resources that should be considered in the development of redistricting outreach and communication plans that would effectively engage communities of interest and, as Barbara, I think, very, very accurately described, historically hard to reach or even disengaged populations? Very well, we'll go on to question four. Now this one has several parts to it. Have there been challenges to bridging an increasingly digital divide, both throughout the county and within communities, especially communities of interest, along with all the different segments of the population that should be involved in this process? What are some mitigation strategies or methods that have been used in the past to overcome those or deal with those kind of challenges? And what are some ideas for the future? Any comments or answers or suggestions would be more than welcome.
And David, could you clarify what the increasing digital divide refers to?
I'll allow staff to comment, but there is some evidence that as the same kind of economic and other differences emerge, I think is the right way to put it, within the county, that is accompanied by a digital divide. Now, it is certainly accurate to say there's a lot of interpretations and analysis and different conclusions about exactly what that means. And Commissioner Chen, I think it's a good one to ask. And again, I'd be more than interested in what members of the public or potential offers have to say. But as relates directly to our meeting today and the industry day discussion, as Rich described, it's an important component of the work to make sure that whatever's being done not be either limited by a digital divide, a divide among digital access on everything from internet and electronic access to simple lack of training and familiarity with different channels and ways to engage. But from that minimized point of view, to not focusing solely on those communities and groups and people who are very comfortable working in the digital world. And I say that because, as a footnote, we are in a transitional period and will likely be there for some time. Within our mandate to be as in touch with the public, getting as much public comment, engaging the public, and I say the public in a very generic way there, but to do that as broadly and deeply as possible, we have to be aware that some people both have more access and are more comfortable engaging in different ways. And it might be just as fair to ask, how do we deal with different methods of communication and views? That's at least my view. I'd invite the ad hoc committee members, staff, and especially members of the public and potential offers to address this as well. It's a key point.
Chair Boehm, we do have one individual that has raised their hand that is an attendee.
Please. That is Ms. Thompson, please.
Thank you. I think many of us have become familiar with the digital divide during this shutdown, especially as it has come to distance learning. And we've watched families throughout the county, throughout the state, the country, struggle with how to bridge some of those digital divides for teaching their children at home. I'd suggest that maybe here's could be an opportunity for the commission to consider leveraging some of the work that has been done to bridge that during this educational hiatus and see if that can't be applied and used in the redistricting message that you're trying to get across.
Thank you very much for that. Excellent point. Anyone else? I apologize if I'm pronouncing it wrong. Sanchez?
Yes, hello everyone. My name is Isaiah Sanchez and I'm from True Care. We're a nonprofit health center located in North County, San Diego, servicing Oceanside, San Marcos, and then we have a clinic in the Riverside area. But more specifically talking about this subject about the digital divide, I had firsthand experience with it when we transitioned over to everything virtual back in March of last year. And so what I mean by that is I run a social support group here at the clinic called the Golden Years Group. And so this Golden Years Group is primarily targeted for Hispanic adults. And so really that geriatric population that I work with. And so what I found was that, yes, the elder population are not as comfortable with using this technology. But another limitation that I found is, yes, I was able to walk them through it with how to join via phone and how to, and I created like an infographic on how they could join on their phone. And for those who had a smartphone, how they could actually have video capability. But what I found that was a barrier for most of them was the access to technology. So it's not as simple as, oh, well, teaching a certain population or certain group on this is how you use technology is if they don't have the technology to be able to use it, then it's not going to benefit them. And so that's what I found. So pre-pandemic, we met here at the clinic and I had roughly 20 to 25 participants show up in person. But then with the pandemic, I only had like 12 people who continued attending the virtual presentations because the others could not either have access to an electronic device or they had no one at home who could help them navigate the Zoom application. So so it's just so many layers to peel off to see where exactly it is that we could best help the communities that we serve. But I just wanted to put in my two cents as to it's not just so much as educating these people, but it's so providing these resources and ultimately the technology for them to be able to utilize them.
Thank you for that, Isaias. And I think it's a critically important point within the bounds of what we're talking about. Jacqueline Clark, please.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted now. Okay. So I came in a little bit late because I have work. And so I remembered that this was coming up because it popped up on my phone. So that's another type of conflict is, you know, reaching the people who don't have access to mobile, even to access this meeting on their mobile phone. I'm at home teleworking, so it's kind of easy for me to do it, but it's also kind of hard because then I have to multitask because I'm on the clock. So I have to decide, like, am I going to do this because it's important for the community? This only comes around, you know, so many years. People are still learning about it. Like I'm alive in this lifetime to even know that there was even opportunity to apply to become a part of the commission. So being an observer, you know, I really want the opportunity to really have the chance to be available for it. And it's not going to be easy to get people to be available for it if they have to work or if these are done during working times or then in the evening when other people are doing community meetings too. So I know there are many challenges that, you know, you're faced with. And I know it's not easy to even decide how to address them, but it's definitely something that has to be considered. And thank you, I'm done speaking.
Thank you very much, Ms. Clark. And thanks for joining us on that. I don't see any other hands raised on that particular question. We do have a couple more. And some of that relates to what we're talking about. Okay. And Andrew, you're not seeing any star nine?
I'm not. No.
Okay, very good. Okay, can we bring up the slide again then for one more? And thanks to all the speakers. That is useful. And when we get to the commission part of the discussion, I might have another comment or two, as I hope other commissioners will. But can we bring up, I believe it's our fourth question. We really dealt with that, didn't we? My mistake. I'm sorry. Good. Okay, very good. So that actually brings us to a good point then. Before I close this part of the discussion, let me just check one more time if members of the public or offerors have any further questions, answers, or comments they want to offer.
And Chair Boehm, while that happens, I'm not sure if it would be helpful just to let all our attendees know that in terms of next steps, the ad hoc committee that we spoke about earlier will be taking all the wonderful input that we received today, as well as anything that's emailed or if anyone calls, and then go back and develop that final product, that final RFP. So all the input today is extremely critical. And then the RFP will be brought before the full commission for approval before it's posted. So those are sort of just the next steps in this process.
Great, thanks for clarifying. Thanks for clarifying that. All right then, I have Lila McDonald, please.
Hi, can you hear me now? Okay, sorry, new to this talk about technology. I just wanted to reiterate what Mr. Sanchez said, that it's not just about access devices though, it's also in rural and unincorporated areas, we do not have access to internet, period. So even if you had the devices, you can't access the internet. So please don't discount, mailings or paper or getting the info to people where they gather. Whether it's at clinics, in local community areas, your chamber of commerces, or where people can gain the access. Thank you.
Lila, can I just please have you state your name for the audio record?
Yes, my name is Lila McDonald.
Thank you, Lila. Apologize for mispronouncing your name. Thank you.
And Lila, no, you're kind enough to include it on your name listing, but it's with the Fallbrook Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you for that. And it's a topic that's been addressed before, but I'm glad you brought it out today because it is very relevant to what we're talking about today. So thank you. All right. I'll ask for one final time for any comments, further questions, answers, or suggestions from the public or from potential offerors. Very good. Andrew, still no star nine inputs. That's very correct. Good. All right. So with that, we'll turn to the next and final portion of the discussion. Because this is a special meeting, we'll do what we usually do, albeit we've done doing it in a slightly different format. Let me ask my fellow commissioners, do you have any comments, questions you'd like to ask? Suggestions you'd like to make, particularly building off some of the public comments we had. Commissioner Inman.
Yes, first and foremost, I appreciate all the participation, all the folks that have shown up. I think we had quite a list of attendees when I looked, and the useful feedback. Mine is more in the form of a comment, and it's just, again, to reiterate with everyone that's here is, there is a website, the redistricting website through the County of San Diego's website, where you can go and get all the information you need to understand better what this commission is all about and how you can get involved to provide public feedback. And on this procurement, all of our procurements, there is a procurement tab off that website where you can go and actually see the documents associated with this meeting. You can see the specifics of the statement of the draft statement of work, as well as evaluation criteria and the submittal information. So again, I just wanted to remind people that there are those resources, and we're always taking e-comments, as Chair Boehm indicated. And so I just, again, wanted to reiterate the fact that those resources are out there. Thank you very much, Chair Boehm.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Pons.
Yes, great presentation. My question goes to the issue of industry standards. And I don't know if there are industry standards. I'd like to better understand what they are. You know, how do we measure success? What are the variables? Are there any ratings and reviews out there that we can look at and get a better appreciation for how well those industries or the potential offers, how well they've done in the past?
And that sounds like a question that can go both to staff and to the ad hoc committee. So I'll invite whoever wants to speak first on that. Barbara?
Yes, so I didn't know if the ad hoc had a comment, but I can ask Rich if he would like to weigh in just in general in terms of some of those approaches that we take for procurements. You're on mute, Rich.
Sorry, on mute. Yeah, I mean, one of the principal ways that we would establish that history, right, would be for reference checks. That's probably one of the more common ways that we do it, which is obviously included in the submittal items. You know, and really the key to trying to understand the applicable qualifications and past history of the offerers is by the questions you ask, right? The quality of questions you ask and how specific those questions are to what information you want to receive. So in terms of procurement process, that is, you know, one of the ways to ascertain that.
Is there an industry standard, like, you know, like the Better Bureau of Protection, Consumer Protection, you know, like if I'm going to buy a telephone, I can compare this phone to this phone based on a series of metrics and how they perform.
I'm not aware of one for this specific industry, right? I would defer to maybe anyone else who has more industry specific knowledge in this area, but I'm not familiar with a standard specifically for this type of service.
Ms. Katerina, did you want to comment on that or something related?
Yes. I just wanted to say that Rich McCarville is correct. There really isn't an industry group that measures, you know, and these would be public relations firms, large consulting firms, could be event firms. So there's a wide variety of different types of offers that we may see on this contract. Some of the things that we have asked our offerors to provide in the submittal requirements are generally some metrics that are used in communications field. So it might range from something as simple as how is your social media gauged? You know, if you have done these types of projects in the past, please tell us how you, what kind of results you received. There are, for mailers, for example, you're looking for how much feedback you get. You know, there are a variety of different methods that organizations use, but there's no general specific industry gauge that we can look at, unfortunately. But I think Rich is spot on that it's very important to contact references, and we do require that they provide information so that we can contact people they've worked with in the past, if that makes sense.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hansen. Commissioner Hansen, I think you're muted.
Will I ever learn? Anyway, thanks for everyone for their comments. As we were talking about access to media, access the digital divide, it occurs to me that I have heard absolutely nothing about the status of libraries in San Diego County in all the conversation about open schools. But for many of our citizens, the libraries are the places where they have access to computers and help in doing computer digital work. And I think we need to look into that, and I will take it upon myself to try to find out, but I don't know the status of libraries. And as long as the libraries are closed, I mean, I live in Claremont, which has a large senior population, and the libraries had always just been bustling all day long with people at the computers. And without that, it's gonna hamper our ability to reach out that way. Thanks.
Thank you for that. Commissioner Larson.
Well, let me follow up on Barbara's comment. We have the problem in Pacific Beach with our library, and it's discussed at our town council every meeting. It's something that I don't think a lot of us thought a lot about, but many of our population really does depend on the library for their digital services. And saying that, I'm thinking that there are two instances that we've all been familiar with here in the last year concerning the digital divide and how you get digital services to citizens. One is the closing schools, the remote classrooms. There's been a lot of effort made by the school district in trying to serve the communities that don't have computer access to remote learning. And the second one is the appointments for vaccinations. There's been a great to-do here in the last two or three months about how does reservations for events we get made to the greater set of community members. And we, I don't think, have done very well on that in our county. So perhaps there's lessons learned in both of those instances that we can follow.
And we appreciate that. As the parent of a 14-year-old and two 10-year-olds, I can tell you distance learning comes with any number of advantages and disadvantages, as do libraries. And I don't think I'm the only parent in the only district who can say it. There's some remarkable things that all the libraries in our county are doing to at least try to stay in touch and offer support. And when I see my younger ones getting through an internet catalog and finding a book that they want about four times as fast as my wife and I can do it, it's impressive. It's a good skill. But as several of our speakers have said, and as Commissioner Hansen and Commissioner Larson said, that's not available to everyone. And that can be a real challenge. And as several of our speakers have said, this goes beyond any of those specific topics. This is something for all voters, for everyone who counts in a census, which means everyone. And therefore we have to have the net cast that broadly. It's one reason, again, I'm so grateful to the ad hoc committee and to all our staff, Barbara and her team, as well as Rich and his folks, for pulling together, at least to this point, something that provides a way for really creative ideas, up-to-date ideas, up-to-date lessons learned, I hope, and that kind of input and comment and new ways of doing things. I also want to harken back, I won't single anyone out by name, to what one of the members of the public said, though, all this happening within incredible demands on our time as a community, as a county. And while it's reassuring in some ways not to have to drive everywhere, or at least not as much as we used to, in some ways that makes the demands on time that much more intensive. And how you engage a public that's got that many more things going on with all the coping with transition we're going to be dealing with, and with what some members of the public said, those unique aspects that are going to affect some members of our community more than others, some groups and communities of interest more than others, that all has to be part of the equation. Other comments, questions from commissioners? Okay. Seeing none? And seeing no further requests for comments, I will allow just one more opportunity, but I know a lot of people are rightly in listening mode, and that's good. We're honored that you're here. I'll go ahead and thank the commissioners for that discussion. And on behalf of the counties of San Diego's Independent Redistricting Commission, I want to thank the potential offerers and the members of the public for joining us today and lending your voice to the important work that we are completing. I look forward to continuing to move the procurement process forward. As Commissioner Inman said, it's complicated and it's expansive, and there'll be more to come on that, as well as to expand our efforts within and beyond the procurement process to engage the public in the redistricting process. With that, we're going to move on to adjournment. Seeing no other comments from commissioners or others, I'll go ahead and move to it. Oh, sorry, Commissioner Diaz, please.
Hi, sorry about that. It just popped in my head about this. I think it's important to acknowledge what kind of timeline we're under, and considering that, you know, the census data may be delayed this year, and how would that affect the RFP process and sort of our timeline as a commission. I guess we could, I could address that to staff for clarification.
I was going to ask, I was just going to mention that as a topic for coming up, but if staff or other commissioners, it's okay though. It's a critically important piece, and particularly for the audience with us today, who probably have it on their minds, but would like even more information and probably more than we can actually provide at this point. Thank you for raising it. Barbara or Rich, any comments you want to offer on timeline for next steps?
So if I could come back to the commission with the full timeline, what it's going to depend on, we've asked the community, as I mentioned earlier, to submit any information or any input by the 22nd on what that was presented today. And then what we would do based on that is the ad hoc could take that back. If there's any clarification needed, any other work, then we would develop the, not sure what's going on here with our slides. They would develop a new timeline, and then we'd be happy to ensure that we get that out when we bring it back before the full commission. And then I just wanted to take advantage to remind everyone that it's important. Rich talked at the beginning about signing up for BINET. And the important piece there is anytime the RFP gets posted or there's addendums or there's questions and answers, you'll automatically get notified. So if you have interest in this RFP, signing up in the BINET is the best way to make sure you're up to date and get all that information. And Chair, if that's okay with you, we can come back with a better timeline at our next commission meeting.
Absolutely. And that's actually a very smooth transition as we get ready to adjourn. I would mention to potential offerers and members of the public, and please feel free to share, there are at least four extremely concrete ways to remain in touch with us and with the county staff about this process. Two of them are on the screen right now. The email, redistricting@sdcounty.ca.gov. The phone number, which I'll read out loud just so it's recorded and you can find it later if you're on your phone now, 619-409-3003. Again, 619-409-3003. There is that option for input by the 22nd via those channels or via BINET. And I would strongly encourage anyone who thinks you might even be remotely interested in this, please register on BINET. Please feel free to register on the Redistricting Commission's website. There's a way you can get alerts from our commission about upcoming meetings. And the fourth concrete way is at our next regular meeting. The Independent Redistricting Commission will next meet for our regular meeting on Thursday, March 25th at 5:30 p.m. That's an evening meeting, just to remind commissioners. So with all that in mind, we look forward to hearing from you, members of the public and potential offerers. We look forward to being engaged in dialogue. I want to thank all the commissioners for making the time to attend this special meeting. I want to thank staff again and the clerk for making the time to join today and for having such a smooth meeting. With that, the special meeting is adjourned at 1:54 p.m. Thank you all.